It's a Tuesday, which means we say hello to our NHL insider from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. The one and only Chris Johnston joins us on the program this afternoon. CJ, how are you today?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Not much, man. How was the long weekend?
Wasn't too bad. Passed pretty quickly. Kind of weird. I wouldn't normally be home. Made 2-4 weekend, but obviously didn't get up to too much. And watched the end of The Last Dance, which was interesting. I wish there was more of that to watch, but like seeing some of the golf on the weekend too. So maybe it's a sign of things to come. Getting some sports back here the last few days.
The three of us, you're on with Steinberg, Klein, and Peter Labardius today, and the three of us just finished a good lengthy chat about how enjoyable that Last Dance was. We all finished it last night too, so outstanding stuff, and I'm glad that you were able to get it all done as well. What is the what are we hearing? What's the latest? Here we are on Tuesday. Give us the latest buzz from the NHL when it comes to restarting the season.
Well, I think we're riding the roller coaster again, because certainly this week began, I think, with some hope that maybe, you know, there'd be a little bit more clarity on what the return to play situation is going to look like. And now it seems as though some of that hope has gone away. And you know, it's not to say that there isn't a solution out there, but I think that the weight or the amount of details that have to be decided on, and the fact that there's still, I think, some, you know, competing opinions about the best way maybe to have this 2014 restart, how many games they play before the quote unquote playoffs begin, how many teams are in there, is there playing games? I don't think that there's consensus yet among the committee that's been put together to try to bring the sport back. And so, you know, I'm a little less certain, I'll say, you know, at this point later on Tuesday night than I would have been on Monday morning, that we were going to get, you know, some clarity on this issue before the end of the week. But, they're keeping at it. And I don't think it's a huge argument necessarily. I think there's just a difference of opinion. And at this point, I think the league really wants to try to, you know, give a clear plan. I mean, obviously they don't know the exact timing yet and what's going to be allowed. And, there's the issue of the Canada-US border being closed for another month. That's cropped up here today, but I think that they do want to spell out what this looks like to give people some hope and an idea of what the NHL might look like if they manage to finish the season off.
So the fact that they continue to talk, and it seems like they've had pretty constant dialogue here over the last little bit, the fact that they continue to talk and they continue to be in communication, how positive is that, and is that the biggest positive out of all of this?
Yeah, and I don't think anything's changed there. You know, I don't want this to be, you know, misconstrued as, you know, big arguments developed and they can't solve the problems. I just think maybe, you know, some of the momentum that seemed to be there in terms of, you know, where the talks went, because, you know, really those talks went right through the weekend with the return to play committee. They had numerous calls in the last few days trying to work through these issues that you know, I think they've hit a snag where, you know, it's not, you know, something that's probably going to be ironed out in the next day or two. Although with the way things change, I don't want to say anything too definitively. You know, it reminds me a little bit, you know, different, I think, things at play. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, we sort of thought there was going to be clarity on the entry draft. And you know, here we sit. And that appears to have been kicked down the road and is probably, you know, certainly at this point, fair to say it's not going to happen in June, but you know, may not even happen before a restart happens. And so, you know, there's a huge number of issues that the league is weighing, but I do think that there's still consensus between the owners and the players here that they have to work together, and, you know, they continue to do that, trying to find a system that makes the most sense. And I think, you know, the challenge really is with 24 teams, you're involving a few teams, namely Montreal and Chicago, which are the 24 and 23rd overall teams, you know, that really didn't have that much of a chance to make the playoffs and under the old format if things had just gone the way they were when the season was paused March 12th. I think that there's an economic argument about, you know, keeping big cities and you know, teams, you know, like the Blackhawks and the Canadiens involved in this, just in terms of, you know, trying to restart and energize as many fan bases as you can. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, what's fair, you know, given that 70-odd games were played for a lot of teams, you know, should they have a chance to really be part of this? You know, can they knock off one of the top teams maybe? And is that equitable here? And so I think that there's some challenges built into, the way you do this fairly. And also, let's face it, I think the players want to have more games before the playoffs start in some way, shape, or form, whether that's, small round robin, just to get back up to speed. And I think the league might, prefer to jump straight to the playoffs if it had its druthers.
When you talk about, there seems to have been maybe some more issues that have popped up. You touched on it a little bit, but what are the main sticking points or the main things that they need to hammer out right now?
Well, I think that the first and foremost thing, is just this playoff format. How exactly is it going to work? We know at this point the focus seems to largely be on bringing 24 teams back. Well, how do you do that? And what's the fairest way to award a Stanley Cup, given where we're at and what we're dealing with? And I think that fundamental question still hasn't really been answered. I mean, within that, there's all kinds of things that still, I think, are a long ways off being worked out about specific protocol, how it's going to work, entering and leaving the arena, all the minutia, if we want to call it that, although it's very important minutia with this issue, the nature of the issue. I think that stuff isn't at this point even on the front burner as much as just trying to navigate, the best way to go about, awarding the Stanley Cup and doing this fairly. It does seem to me, while nothing's been decided, that the conversation now seems to have shifted probably to having two hub cities rather than four, and having 12 teams in each. And, again, that can change again. As we've seen, I don't want to be too strong on it, but I think the focus seems to have gone that way. And so it's just about working through, if you've got 12 teams in two cities, what's the best way to make use of the time you have to get through to the Stanley Cup? And I think that there's a number of models that have been considered, and there's probably not one model at this point that everyone's fallen in love with or can live with. And that's, I think from what I can tell, the reason we don't have more clarity right now.
Okay. With our NHL insider, Chris Johnston, who joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays on Pinder and Steinberg. Mr. Klein.
CJ, you kind of touched on it there, but Gary Bettman over the weekend saying that hub cities may have to host around a dozen teams, and now you're saying that we could just get two hub cities instead of four. Do you know in particular the reason for the shift to that conversation?
It seems a lot to be built around whether there's going to be Canadian hub cities or not, and the biggest issue right now with having Canada involved is that, there's this 14-day quarantine that everyone must observe, after traveling into the country from abroad. And I think if you had Canadian hub cities and you had teams coming from the U.S., the idea that they'd have to wait another 14 days before you could get things started up is maybe not a complete deal breaker, but it's certainly not preferable. And, I think just more generally, not necessarily a Canada-U.S. issue, but if you're dealing with two hub cities instead of four, there's just fewer governments involved. And I think in a four hub city scenario, you were probably looking at two Canadian provinces, two U.S. states, and then obviously the two federal governments. If you go down to two, it can just be two states and one federal government and be based in the U.S. And so, I think the league's preference, quite honestly, is to probably have four and to include Canada as one of those places. Obviously the game's important here, but there's some other things like it being cheaper with the state of the U.S. Canada dollar right now for wanting to do that, but it just might not be possible as time continues to go on. And at this point there's no sign of that quarantine period going away. There's no indication that NHL players and staff would be exempted from having to observe that period. And so I think that's those are some of the main reasons why it shifted. There's also some cities out there that feel that they can host 12 teams pretty comfortably. And I think, Vegas is certainly one that seems to be, it's not locked in 100%, but probably a favorite to be one of the hubs under any scenario. I think just, obviously the ability to house a large number of people and feed them and huge conference space that teams require, whether it's, for feeding the athletes or having the meetings they're having, And within walking distance of T-Mobile Arena just off the strip there, I think that's viewed as one of the main favorites. And then they feel they can host 12 teams in that city. And then it's just a matter on zeroing on another one. And I think that there's still a few places under consideration that the league feels would be, strong places to hold it. But, at this point, it seems like logistically, doing it in fewer places rather than more might be preferable. Also, if you do have 12 and 12, you wouldn't have anyone traveling after the first round of the playoffs. You'd be able to do a couple rounds all in one spot before, you got to the cup final.
You talk about Vegas. That's being discussed with the NBA as well. And from the sounds of it, they're going to put everybody wherever they decide and just have it in one host location. How much would where the NBA decides to have their hub affect the NHL? I would imagine they would want to keep the two leagues kind of separated.
They would, but I do think that there's still a way to do it because, they're not necessarily using the same facilities to have the games. And obviously there's enough different massive hotel structures in Vegas that I think that there's a way that almost everyone could be there, honestly. And I wonder if there's a scenario where Vegas could host all 24 teams, should the league go that way. The biggest, most obvious challenge I see is ice time, because obviously you need a place for the teams that aren't playing on a certain day to be able to practice if they want. They do have two sheets of ice at their practice rink in Summerlin, about a 20-minute drive from the Strip. You've got T-Mobile Arena. There's a couple other sheets I know around Vegas, but I don't know if it's enough to make it work with everybody. But, I do think that it's what the NBA decides specific to where it is when we're talking about Vegas. I don't know that really impacts the NHL negatively or positively. I think it's the one reason it's obviously so attractive to, to both leagues is that you can just set everyone up there. There's very little, there's probably nowhere else in the world basically that's more set up to have tourists and to look after people. You've got 9 or 10 restaurants and some of those hotels or more, so there's lots of places to feed everyone, and so I think that from that specific angle it's probably the best place to house everyone. The challenge for hockey though, of course, is we need ice and they might not have enough to do the whole shebang in that one city.
The more that we've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, either when we've had you on or just Steinberg and I talking, it really does get a sense that it's more when, not if, the NHL comes back. And you've said that they're willing to really play the waiting game if they have to. Are there a couple of things that could still just completely put the kibosh on this whole thing, or will the NHL wait out pretty well anything?
No, I still think that it's possible. I mean, the biggest issue probably, and it's not a very sexy topic for radio, is just the testing. That's probably the main determining factor in whether this can ever get off the ground is if the league's able to secure enough testing and that it's not doing so at the expense of the general population in terms of taking testing capacity away from what people in a given region need, and just that they're able to execute a large number of near daily tests on a large number of people. I mean, I think that's the key when we see, what they're doing in Germany with the Bundesliga. Players there are being tested a lot. You've had a whole team in the second division have to be quarantined after a positive test. I think that's the key in most sort of return to play models is being able to execute all that. So that's one thing. Maybe if the testing capacity doesn't end up being where the league hopes it'll be in time, that could get in the way. I do wonder a little bit about the Canada-US border. I mean, on the surface, people can, it's for non-essential travel that you're not allowed to cross the border right now. I can't go on a trip to Vegas as much as I might like to at this given time. But people for the profession are able to cross the border, and depending who you talk to, you think the players, will probably be covered by that. I mean, obviously anyone who isn't a Canadian citizen who plays for the Flames or the Canucks or what have you, has Canadian work visa. Similarly, citizens of other countries that play for U.S.-based teams have those work visas. So there's a thought that they should be able to get into those countries. But I guess if, now that the border closure has been extended through June 21st, if it's extended again into July, there might be some complications here, I guess, from the governments. But, from what I've seen in a number of jurisdictions, whether it's, the premier there in Alberta or, Governor Cuomo in New York yesterday, a lot of the regional governments do seem open to trying to do their part to get sports up and running again. So, I think testing is probably the biggest thing. And I guess easing players' concerns on some level, although my sense, about the safety of this and that they can execute this properly, although I do think in the big picture, more players than not are in favor of finding a way to make this happen. And obviously there's some out there with concerns, but I do think it's a league feels it can get to a point, where it's safe that most players will go along and gladly sign up for that.
chatting with our NHL insider, Chris Johnston, here on Pinder and Steinberg. I'm Peter Klein with Pat Steinberg and Peter Labardius.
Hello, Mr. Johnston. I'm going to stay kind of along the same vein. You're knee-deep in this subject each and every day. I think we all understand that, you know, from the get-go, there's no easy answer. I don't think it's going to be an easy solution. But do you sense, I guess the best way to ask it, because one day there's momentum, the next day it can be quelled. Do you think, Chris, right now, is it more in the plan and where it is, or the trepidation that might come from what it's going to take for everybody to execute the plan? Because to me, there's two different things. It's hard to come up with something that's going to work, period, but you got to start somewhere. And then after that, it's, are you prepared to do, whether it's the players especially, and what you're going to have to give up in some ways to execute the plan?
Yeah, I think it's the unknown, honestly, that's probably driving most of the people that are really close to these decisions. You know, that's been the toughest for them emotionally, because you're right, it's so hard to make a plan when you don't know exactly what you're dealing with. And you know, for so long, since March 12th, when the season was paused, a lot of this discussion was a little bit more in the hypothetical than I think it is today. I mean, as amazing as it is, we're approaching the end of May. I think that, you know, players certainly, you know, want some clarity on, you know, when the league thinks they need to be where. And I just don't think that those answers yet are fully possible. I mean, the NHL would like to start opening the team facilities, as we've seen some of the NBA teams do. And you know, I think once those things happen, if they happen, it'll be a crack of welcome light, in a sense, because you'll have players back skating and getting a little bit closer to their routines, obviously working towards what the NHL hopes will be training camps. And so, you know, I think that the main frustrator here is just been trying to formulate that plan when you don't really know what the canvas looks like and you don't know what the timeline looks like. And, you know, time just slipping through the hourglass here, and they haven't still been able to arrive at exactly how this is all gonna work. I think that there's been a continued faith, especially at the top levels in the NHL, that they really believe things will fall their way, that there'll be a way to work their way through this. But, you know, obviously that's come with some challenges and probably some setbacks. I mean, I don't have a complete window into where all these talks have gone, but I can tell you for sure that there is that rise and fall of public momentum is what's happening behind the scenes, is where they feel maybe that there's a pathway, and then it gets closed off by one thing or another. So, you know, it's complicated, and I think it's quite different even than, say, a lockout, which is probably, this is the closest thing for fans, the way it feels. You know, with a lockout, even though on the outside none of us really know what's going on, I think the experts in the room have a good feel for the way those negotiations play out. And, you know, there's still a high degree of control at the top levels of the league with something like that. There's just not a lot of control here, and that's a different spot for, I think, Gary Bettman to be in, and Bill Daly, and the owners of the teams. And, you know, it's not to say they won't find their way through it, but, you know, I think that there's been a lot of twists and turns that they've had to deal with already. And here we are still technically in phase one of the return to play protocol with no specific details yet on how this is going to work and how they're going to get these games played, hopefully starting in August at some point.
Chris, this scenario for everybody takes incredible collaboration. It's always, you know, the owners and the executive and the players. Do you feel like they're in a good place in terms of A, how they're working together, and B, what I've always wondered as I've watched and listened and read is it's hard to get somewhere if you don't know exactly where you're trying to get, if that makes some sense.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen it quite like this. I mean, there's really no undercurrent of frustration between the sides, which is, you know, not normal operating procedure. I mean, you've been around this league a long time. You know, I'm sure fans of the sport recognize that the owners and players in this sport often are opposed on key issues, whether it's, you know, big things like the CBA and the amount of time, you know, players have lost to, you know, to their careers by, you know, work stoppages they've had to deal with, or even, you know, smaller issues like trying to get back to the Olympics, which didn't happen in 2018 in Pyeongchang. I mean, it's often that these two have trouble finding common solutions. I mean, they've been trying to put on a World Cup again a few different years since the last one in 2016 and haven't managed to execute it. But this is totally different. You know, even just observing as a fan what's going on with the Major League Baseball players and you know, the fight that they seem to be having with ownership, that, you know, there seems to be really be some bad feelings there and some uncertainty about whether they'll be able to reach an agreement that allows them, even just from a financial standpoint, to come back and try to play if the health circumstances allow it. I mean, there's just none of that going on with the NHL. I think it's one of the maybe silver linings in this is that, you know, right from the beginning, I've just sensed that the owners and players recognize, first of all, I mean, they're tied together. They split the revenues in the sport, and the revenues essentially been stuck at zero since March 12th. So I'm not good at math, but 50% of zero isn't good for either side. You know, and so I think that they've recognized the best way out of it is to work together and try to find those solutions. So, you know, I think that they're largely aligned. You know, obviously there's times like when the players started speaking up about the importance of their families being involved if they are going to go to these hub cities and be quarantined for some time to play out the season. And rather than having that met with a, there's no chance that'll work, I think the league's worked with them. So, you know, my sense is that it's been very positive, the degree of dialogue and the way things have gone. But, you know, let's hope it stays that way because it's probably the only way to make this work. I mean, it'd be pretty easy to imagine if they were fighting that one side at some point might just say to the other, we're not going to bother with this because clearly there's going to be a lot of challenges and there's going to be some risks assumed, you know, if they are going to get this back up and running and award a Stanley Cup this year.
Pat?
Chris Johnston's with us, our NHL insider. One last one for you, CJ, and that's just, you kind of mentioned it right off the top, and I wrote it down, wanted to make sure we go back to it to finish it off, and that is that it's sounding right now that not only is an NHL draft unlikely in the month of June, but maybe not even before a season potentially resumes. What is the latest on the NHL draft that you heard?
Well, this is one of the rare times also in my career that it sounds like, you know, the opposition from GMs and some of their owners, you know, has forced the league to take a deeper look at its plan and I think to adjust that plan. And so, you know, nothing's been ironed out fully, but, you know, at this point, what are we, May 19th? They need at least a month, they've said, to pull it off. So, I mean, June's already closing as a window just even from a practical standpoint. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, really the focus internally has shifted probably to having that in August or September. You know, probably will be tied a little bit more to the return to play exactly, you know, what, you know, everyone's deciding here. And if that's the case, then I don't think that there's any reason the league has to come out and even announce that. I mean, it just seems as though it's a little bit less on the front burner, but certainly, you know, that early June draft, which we talked about a lot and which for a time, especially when Bill Daly sent out an 8-page memo on a Friday night to every team. I mean, most GMs and people that I spoke with that got that note assumed it was a sign that the league was going to do it. But, you know, there was enough opposition and enough points put on the table that's cooled off now. And you know, I would expect we'll see it late summer or you know, into the fall.
Okay. Thank you, CJ. We will talk again on Thursday. Have a good rest of your Tuesday. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Great to hear from you guys.